Straight Shooter with Stephen A. What's up, everybody? Welcome to this latest edition of Straight Shooter with Stephen A. Coming at you, as I love to do, at least several times a week. On Wednesday nights from 6 to 8 p.m., I come at you from SiriusXM POTUS Radio Channel 124, and I will most certainly be doing that with you tomorrow night. As I've told you on several occasions over the last few weeks, I try to come on the air every Monday and Friday, but this Monday I had to do Monday Night Football for ESPN, and so that's why I'm doing something today. And it's apropos, because I have to address stuff that pretty much nobody wants me to address. They want me to leave it alone because their attitude is you just give fodder to folks. Folks are looking for clicks and stuff like that. I'm not going to classify the people I'm talking about as individuals just searching for clicks. They're accomplished individuals in our profession, in my profession, as well as in politics. And because of that, I'm going to show them a level of respect they certainly haven't showed me. But I'm certainly going to speak on the issues that they've addressed. I'm talking about Joy Reid, formerly of MSNBC. I'm talking about Don Lemon, formerly of CNN. I'm talking about Representative Jasmine Crockett, who for some reason, once again, went on social media to denigrate me. There's no other way to put it. So let me get started with a couple of things first. Joy Reid decides to put out some videos of me talking about keeping receipts because she wanted to put forth a compilation of me talking about black people and comparing that to me talking to white people like Megyn Kelly and Ben Shapiro and people like that. I'm not getting into that. That's nonsense. You can clip and edit any way you want to and contextualize things in your own way. I'm not falling for that. But what I would like to do is address the incentive and the motivation that appears behind the attacks that they have aimed in my direction. First order of business is Joy Reid. Joy Reid was on a podcast, I believe it's my former colleague Kerry Champion's podcast entitled Naked. And listen or look at what Joy Reid had to say about me, and I'll read it to you. You got $100 million for a show with half my ratings at my worst. They're paying you, meaning ESPN, because you are willing to say the nasty things about black people that they want to say. You're willing to take their denigration of black women and put it in the mouth of a Negro. End quote. Before I address what Joy Reid, what I just read to you, came out of her mouth on that podcast, ladies and gentlemen, this woman is of the mindset that somehow, some way, she's been insulted by me. Because when she got fired by MSNBC, I had the temerity, the unmitigated gall to say this. I've invited Joy Reid on this show, and I'm looking forward to her accepting my invitation so we can talk. Let me tell you how I feel about Joy Reid first. I respect the hell out of this woman. She is highly intelligent, very, very knowledgeable, very passionate. She has a lot to say. She is more than a conscientious observer. And she is fearless in calling out what she believes to be inequities, unfairness, and the like anywhere, but especially as it pertains to the black community and obviously as it pertains to leftist, you know, to folks on the left. But when we want to bring up race as the cause for her being gone, I don't think we're serving ourselves well. Michael Steele is going to be there as well as a replacement, along with Alicia. And you got to remember, Menendez is right there as well. It's hard to make the race argument when her replacements are reported to be three individuals that already have a weekend show on the network and they're going to be inserted in the network. And I'm just reading from the reports here. Okay, I have not spoken to Joy Reid. I don't know. I've had the pleasure of meeting her on a couple of occasions. I certainly respect her. And I'm not here to castigate her in any way. But we do have to talk about the business in a very, very honest and fair fashion. Joy Reid was incredibly outspoken against the Trump administration, as has always been the case. Since election, her ratings have dropped by 47%. 47%. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't keep your job when stuff like that happens. You just don't. The business doesn't allow for that to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, that right there is the only time I've ever spoken about Joy Reid. That right before my interview with Lindsay Davis for ABC News Live the other day. That right there is apparently what she found to be disrespectful. That right there is what she appears to deduce as being denigrating and insulting to black women. What do you want me to say? Joy Reid, beyond a conscientious observer, somebody who unapologetically fights on behalf of us as a community every chance she gets. Whether we agree or disagree with tactics from time to time, verbiage from time to time, etc., there is no doubt where her loyalty and her conscience lies. All I was pointing out was you've gone after Trump, albeit legitimately in your mind and that of many, many others who watched your show. Did you take into account the fact that he might win and what that might ultimately do? Because you know how he is and you know he's coming. And sure enough, a couple of months later, it ended up happening. So when it ended up happening, I was making the point because, ladies and gentlemen, I'm in the business. Not only that, I've had a show that was canceled in 2007. So I was simply making the point that in our business, particularly when you're black, regardless of the reasons behind why a precipitous fall off may occur, you kind of know what's going to happen. That's it. And because of that, she went on the air weeks ago and said what she said about me. And when I elaborated on what she said and gave my response to Lindsay Davis, all of a sudden she's out with some videos or whatever showing receipts, whatever. Say what you want. It doesn't matter because I understand from a contextual standpoint, I did nothing wrong to you. And the venom and the viciousness that you choose to show, cool, no problem, I can take it. It's all right, keep it coming. Do what you got to do, if that's how you feel. My name is spelled with a P-H, not a V. And even though you'll get your clicks and you'll get your notoriety and people in the audience will, you know, will gravitate to you, well, guess what? They're going to gravitate to me too. And oh, by the way, you said that the ratings was more than mine. Again, context matters. You do understand I'm on at 10 in the morning. And they just finished reading the article about First Take having record ratings in the year 2025. Same year your show was canceled. You had more ratings, but prime time, which is when you were on, comes with a different set of responsibilities. I did not wish for your show to get canceled. I have news for you, Joy Reid. I still wish you on air. Because regardless of what bad cynics and critics and others want to say you did, I also know that you did a lot of good, which is what I said when I talked to you, when I talked about you, I'm sorry, back then. I talked about the business, but I also talked about the quality of work that you brought to the airwaves. I did that. That's what I did. But that seems to be ignored. Denigrating, disrespecting black women. I'll get into that in a second. But obviously, we don't want to stop with you. Because Don Lemon, who was at CNN for 17 years, he had something to say about me as well. Listen to this.
Stephen A. Smith has just been a disappointment. I try not to criticize, especially black men or just black people in general. Mm-hmm, but Stephen A. Smith goes off and he talks about shit that he has no idea about. He has talked shit about me, but no facts. He has no facts. He just gets on these like white boy, right wing podcasts or on his own show and just goes off about black people and things that for which he has no clue.
Yeah.
And he thinks because he's doing it like this, that people are going to listen to him. What's wrong with you? I'm like, what am I watching? It's just shocking to me, this sort of cozying up to white people. And it's got to be for the money. But if I became a black conservative, I would be rich, like a gazillionaire. Or if I just went on and started like bashing black people just to bash them. And it seems that's become his stock and trade to make excuses for white people and to cozy up to people like Megyn Kelly. He's one of those black people who white people think black people like, but we don't. And Stephen A. Smith does not represent us. Black people don't want to hear from him, networks. We don't like him.
I just want to make sure I understand this clearly. Don Lemon speaks for black people more than me. Don Lemon speaks for black people, period. Really? I won't go there. I won't even go there. I'm just not going to do it. I want y'all to understand as an audience. Let me say this about Don Lemon. My sister Carmen loves this man. Loves herself some Don Lemon. So much so to the point that not only did she watch him every night, she'd call us half the time to make sure we were watching him most of the night. For somebody that don't know much, and who is he, and he doesn't represent us, and blah, 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 you could, if you did your research, notice that I was a guest on Don Lemon's show on several occasions in the past. I never asked to come on. He asked me to come on. And I tried to go whenever asked because me, like I'm sure many others felt, you see a black host on television, you want to help. Don Lemon said that I talked shit about him. Ladies and gentlemen, evidently, this right here is Don Lemon's definition of shit. Listen up. See, I did some research, okay? And here is the reality of the situation. When you look at Don Lemon tonight, that's what his show was called, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, when he followed up Chris Cuomo. His ratings were his best during the Trump years in office. But even at that time, never averaged more than 1.1 million viewers, according to the reports. Shortly after Trump left office in January of 2021, his ratings steadily declined. And it wasn't long before CNN's primetime ratings overall were down over 50% post-Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the part where we all need to grow up. In the business that we're in, I'm in it. I've been in it for decades. You're not keeping your job when those kind of numbers are on the books. You're not doing it. Because advertisers and sponsors who want to support your product are going to go to where the ratings are. When I was watching one of the three shows at 10 o'clock at night on news, it was his show I was watching, not the other two. But evidently, the numbers say I was in a minority. And again, no disrespect. I like Don. I like his work. I wish him nothing but the best. I'm not here to excoriate him. I'm only talking facts. And Don would appreciate this because Don is a fact-based person. That's what he swears to be. I see no reason to denigrate him in any way. But if Don was doing a story on Stephen A., which he has, and the reports were out there, Don would be reading from the reports just like I'm reading now. Everybody knows this. He would be reading them. And he would be saying, this is Stephen A.'s numbers compared to such and such numbers and such and such numbers. And if I was in last place, he would say, he's in last place. That's his reality. That's the definition of disrespect to them. That something happens involving you in the news. You're the headline. You're the story. I talk about it and I read the facts that were put in publications. And because of that, I'm just catering to white folks and talking about folks and all of this other stuff. I say that, I played that clip because Don Lemon specifically said, I was talking shit about him. I've never talked shit about you. I've had you on this show. I showed you nothing but respect when you were here. I showed you nothing but respect when I came onto your shows. I've never spoken against you, ever, ever. This pattern that's taking place that I'm witnessing transpire before my very eyes right now, I'm not blind. I see what's going on. And it's one thing. It's very, very simple to disagree with me. It's very, very simple to say that I'm wrong. It's very, very simple to say, I don't know what I'm talking about. Cool. Black people don't like me. That's a very, very, very personal shot. What if I got personal about Don Lemon? You want to talk about black people and your relationship with black people compared to others and who likes other people, who black people like and who they don't. We all got receipts. I'm not going to do that to you. I'm not going to do that to you. It's unnecessary. You have your YouTube show. Joy's doing her thing with you and without you. I'm wishing y'all success. But what y'all are doing right now is vicious. I can take it. I'm going to continue to take it. It's spelled with a PH, not a V. Feel free. A in the middle initial. Go ahead, knock yourself out. I can take it. But it don't make you right. And it damn sure don't make you righteous. The reality of the situation is that you're basically sitting up there and pulling a Laura Ingraham. With LeBron, shut up and dribble. You're telling me to shut up and stick to sports. It's the fact that I'm touching on stuff that's essentially news and what have you. It's got y'all up in a tizzy. Jory, you brought up Ben Shapiro. I've met the man once. I interviewed him twice. I've met Megyn Kelly once. I've interviewed her twice. You know what we did? We sat down and we talked about our disagreements. I would have afforded that to Don had he called. Not now. I would have afforded that to Joy if she had called. Not now. Because it's gotten personal. And I'm not going to get personal. I'm just not going to waste my time. Black people don't like me. I'm from Hollis, Queens, bro. I'm from the streets of New York City. I go to the streets of America everywhere, all over this country. I'm inside and outside arenas. I'm inside and outside local businesses and stuff like that. I'm the ambassador for HBCU Week in concert with Ashley Christopher and other people. I've helped generate over 12,000 scholarships in excess of $150 million for Black students. I'm a member of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity. I ain't just down with a fraternity. That's a brotherhood. All of them are my boys. I was raised by five Black women, Joy. I have nine nieces. I have two daughters. Everybody Black. I still go home to Hollis. On the business side, ESPN takes our show, First Take, to HBCUs. Pack gymnasiums wherever we go. Black people don't like me? You sure? Positive. Walt Disney and HBCUs, when we start going on tours every year. We've been to Delaware State. We've been to Bethune-Cookman. We've been to Norfolk State. We've been to Winston-Salem State. We've been to Savannah State. Oh, yeah. We're going to Texas Southern next month. Because of what Beyonce did in terms of her contribution to the band. We don't stop. And I said we. Because in concert with the very organization that I work for that you accused me of being paid by just to talk about white, just to talk nastiest things about Black people. What about what I celebrate? I cover the world of sports, Joy. If a Black athlete is competing against a Black athlete, and I'm talking about what a Black athlete did positive and how a Black athlete may have suffered negatively, I'm denigrating a Black person, or am I covering sports? You're competing. Somebody wins, somebody loses. You mentioned Colin Kaepernick. I supported Colin Kaepernick from day one. I just said your strategy's not going to work. Because if you go the route that you're going, you will never be back in the NFL. You seen him play? Have you seen him in an NFL uniform? Was I not right? I looked at Don Lemon. I looked at Joy Reid and what you bring to the table. And it was valuable and it was important. And we needed you on the air. So why continuously go after Trump to the point where all of your eggs are in one basket? And in the event that he wins the election, somehow, some way, it can get in the way of your progress. I wasn't selling out. I was looking out. Trying to point out where the potholes and the minefields will lie. Why? Because I've been there. I've been canceled. I've been fired. I've been taken off the air. And I was saying, this is the business. Why are we telling people something different? If you don't do X, Y, and Z, that does not mean you were not a great host. It does not mean that your content wasn't substantive. It does not mean it wasn't stuff that we needed to hear. What it meant was, in the end, it's going to be a marathon that you would lose because you went for the sprint. It's a personal opinion. But nothing denigrating or insulting to you all. But you would come at me. And try to create a narrative questioning my Blackness. Do you really think I'm fazed by that? I ain't a Black man, just a Black man. I'm a brother. I'm with the brothers and sisters all the time. That's how I live my life. That's what's around me, contrary to what you want to believe. Everywhere I go, Black people. Because I'm one of them. My brothers and sisters. And whether you like it or not, you don't get to eradicate and exile people. No, you don't get to do that. contrary to what you want to believe. Now, to touch real quick, to remind people of my politics, let me say one thing before I elaborate on it more extensively before we end this show. I'm not a Democrat, meaning a progressive Democrat. I am not a Republican, never have been, nor am I down for MAGA, because I don't like some of the stuff. Either extremes, though. I am a moderate who leans left. I am a fiscal conservative, because I can't stand paying high taxes in California, New Jersey, New York. And I'm a social liberal. I am a supporter, pro-choice, LGBTQ plus community. My only issue is if somebody is transgender and trying to transition from a male to a female and competing with females, because I think that puts females at an extreme disadvantage. That's it. That and things involving kids that don't require parental consent. Because I'm of the belief you can ask a kid to go to the gas station. If you do it against the wishes or against the idea of informing their parents, you're wrong. There's no such thing as things for a child without parental consent. That's it. Period. I'm pro-choice. I'm about looking out for the impoverished and disenfranchised. The elderly matters to me more so than the rest of us, to be honest with you, kids and the elderly. But that's neither here nor there. Because we know that's not what this is about. This is about y'all wanting me to parrot what y'all want me to say. And God forbid I think for myself. And I go on a case-by-case basis and I say, yo, this ain't gonna flow. That's not right. It's a problem. I don't subscribe to that. Because I'm of the mindset that when you do that, you don't get to, meaning a politician, you don't get to get held accountable for the things that you do. You want our vote? Earn it. Why should it be? You signed civil rights legislation into law with Lyndon B. Johnson in 64, and you signed voting rights in 65, and because of that, you've dominated our vote for 80 plus years. I know the answer to some people would be, well, look at what the Republicans doing. I'm saying forget all of that for a second. I understand that. I get that. But what about you who's swearing up and down, meaning the Democratic Party? You deserve our vote. Flatter me. I want to hear what you're offering. I want to hear what you're thinking and why. I want to hear why your policy ideas are better than theirs for our community, whether it's the year 2000, 2010, 2020, 2025. I'm asking, in this case, rhetorically. I'm saying that's always been my mentality. I've never been any different politically, ever. But now suddenly, I have this platform. And all of a sudden, my check become an issue. And speaking of my check, can I ask a rhetorical question right now? Why is everybody always bringing up me on ESPN when I own this YouTube channel? And I own this show on Sirius XM. How come y'all don't bring up Sirius XM? I don't say any of this stuff on ESPN. I don't bring any of my political stuff to ESPN. I'm there to do sports. Everything else is different. But at ESPN, I do a sports show, which, by the way, come April will be number one for 14 consecutive years, by the way. See, in my time slot, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But that's neither here nor there. The point that I'm trying to make is, what's the problem? Why can't y'all bring up Stephen A. on Sirius XM? Stephen A. on Straight Shooter? Why do you keep bringing up ESPN? Because you know it's owned by Disney. Because you're literally trying to go about the business of having me canceled. All I want to say is, I don't have animus and vitriol towards Joy Reid or Don Lemon. Y'all saw what I said. The reason I played you those clips is because it's the only time I've ever talked about them. I wouldn't do that. I don't want you canceled. I don't want you guys without a show. I don't want you guys off the air. I want you talking. What you looking out for our community? Just because you do it your way and I do it differently don't make you better or worse. Neither does it me. But the point is, I wouldn't do to you what you're trying to do to me. You're trying to create a narrative and build it so it would literally be validated what Don Lemon said. Hey, Stephen A., black people don't like you. You speak for all black people. You want to walk out in the streets of America with me and find out? I walk out there every day. I can walk anywhere in this country because I'm a brother who loves my brothers and sisters, regardless of what you think. I grew up arguing with my sisters all the damn time. I didn't know that arguments turned into disrespect because you had a different opinion. I didn't know that it translated to hating your own. I thought we as black people butted heads all the time, arguing about our ideas, our thoughts, and everything like that. That's what I thought. But we want to pretend that it's something different now because on a public platform, we're supposed to give a different impression. Let's keep it a buck. Joy Reid and Don Lemon are the title of their opinion. I don't have to talk to them. I don't have to talk about them. But I want them to know for future reference, in case you ever wanted to come to this show, you're welcome. And not only that, I'm going to invite liberals and conservatives on this show. I'm going to even try to conduct town halls. I have the facilities and the means to do it, evidently. I want to hear from both sides because I want the black community prioritized in a way that benefits us, not keeps us at the mercy of one party who's going to take us for granted, and another party who's going to dismiss us because they know they never will get our support. And as a result, we are the community that's left being disenfranchised. That's what I'm going to do. I just wanted to say that. Before I ended this by talking about Representative Jasmine Crockett, while Joy Reid and Don Lemon were saying their things, Jasmine Crockett took the liberty, at least according to her ex-handle, Twitter handle, whatever it is, she took the liberty of talking about me. She had this to say. I believe that's her Instagram page, if I'm correct. She commented on Don Lemon's post by saying, three of my faves, meaning the two individuals that he was on the show with. She said, three of my faves. All I have to say is Stephen is synonymous with the modern day Django. Don't be a Stephen A., especially right now. Modern day Django, huh? Is that not race baiting? Because I sat up there and called out Jasmine Crockett, calling the president a piece of shit and simply asking, is that going to work for your constituency? All of this has come about. Never mind the fact that I said it because I wanted her to do nothing to get in the way of her running for Senate, because I wanted her to run for Senate. Why represent 766,000 people for a district in Texas when you can end up being one of two senators in the state representing 31 million people? Jasmine Crockett and her supporters were so appalled by it that a month or so later, she announced she's running for Senate, which was my point. She left out, and people like, I should say people like, other people who support her left out that I wanted her to run for Senate. that I think she has a chance to win a Senate seat, that I'd like to see Texas get a little bluish. They left that out. I'm talking about winning. We talking about feelings. And you would say that about me. A representative in the United States of America would call me the modern day Django. And y'all left out the part that she was days removed from going on The View and saying Marjorie Taylor Greene, her nemesis, her Republican nemesis in the House over the last couple of years, Marjorie Taylor Greene should be shown grace. But I shouldn't. This is the world that we're living in. Once again, Jasmine Crockett has been invited on this show multitude of times. You sitting down talking to everybody else. How come you ain't sit down and talk to me? Scared of what I'm going to ask? I don't know. I have no clue. But if you're going to say something like that about somebody, hell, say it to their face. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you noticed this, and I don't want to step out of pocket. I'm being very respectful when I say this because I'm grateful. I'm grateful with what I'm about to bring up. When Jasmine Crockett appeared on The View a couple of weeks ago, the green room that she was in was 10 feet away from First Take Studios across the hall. 10 feet. I was on the air. I did not have the pleasure or the luxury to meet her because I was on the air doing my show from 10 a.m. to noon. And by the time I got off of First Take and I came outside, she was gone. As I was walking outside, an abundance of ladies stopped me. After they stopped me to take pictures, and I took pictures with several of the ladies who happened to be in the audience for The View that day, as I was being escorted out of the building with security by my side, security in the building, a woman walked up to me and said, "Hello, Stephen. It's a pleasure to meet you. I am Jasmine Crockett's mother." I looked up the picture of Jasmine Crockett's mother in the aftermath of all of that to make sure it was really her as opposed to somebody saying that they were her, because I never knew what her mother looked like. She could not have been kinder. She could not have been sweeter. And I could not have appreciated more what she said to me. I said to her, "Are you mad at me too?" And I'm only saying this because she didn't ask me to be quiet and things confidential. She was just a kind lady that approached me to let me know she was Jasmine Crockett's mother. And she said to me, when I asked her, "Are you upset at me too?" She said, "No, I'm actually here to thank you because you are a person that repeatedly compliments my daughter. You remind people that she is educated. You remind people that she is accomplished. And you remind people that she can accomplish great things. And I appreciate that." Go back and look at my clips, at the things that I've said about Jasmine Crockett, and you will find that to be true. It's absolutely true. But you wouldn't know that from what she put on Instagram. And I love how it's totally cool. I got to watch everything that I say. And I got to watch everything that everybody that I talk to and all of this other stuff. But you can go on Instagram and call me a modern day Django. As a representative for the United States of America, you can engage in that kind of verbiage. All because I asked a question that I wanted you to answer. That part saddens me. I have the airways available to me, contrary to what y'all want to think, believe, or whatever. I'm not going away. Not going anywhere. I'm going to continue to talk to people on both sides of the aisle because I know at the heart of all of this, that's what the problem is. Y'all don't want me talking to nobody. You don't want me to talk to anybody on that side. They're Republicans. They must be racist. They're Republicans, so they don't care about black people. They're Republicans. They're Republicans. What about the black conservatives? Because let me tell you something right now. Black liberals, black moderates, black conservatives, all are welcomed on the show. Not just white politicians, not just white folks on either side of the aisle. Everybody. I am no black conservative, but I certainly understand why black conservatives get so heated when it comes to the issues of liberalism because they see how they get labeled for their ideological beliefs and how they get denigrated. So the liberal can believe what the liberal wants to believe and we can agree or disagree. But if a black conservative feels a certain way, they got to be a sellout to their community. They can't believe there's a better strategy to the economy. They can't believe there's a better strategy to addressing border issues. They can't believe there's a better strategy for affordability. Oh, no, it must be. And of course, they can't possibly disagree with some of the stuff that Trump is doing, like the latest nonsense that he put out there where he's blaming black folks and speaking about the issues of slavery and things of that nature as something that's been unfavorable to white people. Like that should be ignored, like history should be erased. There ain't a week that goes by that I don't call Trump out or something from his administration. But we ignore that, don't we? Because that fit the narrative. It's really unfortunate, but it's okay, because I can take it, and I'm going to keep on taking it, because at any time I want to, I can give it. But as it pertains to the black community, I'm not going to go overboard in addressing it. I don't have to. I'm not going to be invited to the latest barbecue. Don't y'all know I have my own? Don't y'all know that 100% of the time, at least 99% of the people that show up are black people? The things that I've been doing for HBCUs, the things that I do for Winston-Salem State, my alma mater with the scholarships and everything, the things that I do in mentorship and what have you, the things that I do in terms of assisting ESPN and any place that I work with, including here at SiriusXM, is to make sure that I assist in diversifying the body of employees that work. I've been doing the work and I'm going to continue to do the work. I'm going to continue to love my people. I do not speak for us. You're absolutely right, Don. I never said I did. Who the hell do you think you speak for? Who do you speak for? Come on now. We don't have to go there. You don't speak for all black people, neither do I. And I'm quite sure there's a plethora of black people who love you out there and some who don't. Same applies to me. But y'all can peel my takes all you want to, Joy, and edit them and do all that stuff. Here's the bottom line. I'm on the air over 300 days out of the year. A minimum of 470 to 500 hours a year live. I'm quite sure from time to time I'm going to say things people don't like. If you had to talk as much as I have to talk, who knows what you would say? You want to dig up files and show receipts? Do I need to dig up your file? Emails and beyond. The things you've said? I'd never do that. It's your business. Not in a million years. I don't play that game. Y'all do what y'all do. I do what I do. I don't claim to know everything. I'm not an aficionado. I don't know more politics than either one of y'all. I certainly know more politics than Jasmine Crockett or anybody else for that matter. That's why I talk to the experts that do. I remember seeing Torre doing some video about the arrogance. He's doing some video. He's doing a political show and stuff like that. He doesn't even know anything about politics. That's why I interview politicians. From Akeem Jeffries to Representative Clyburn to Madeleine Dean to Governor Josh Shapiro to Governor Spencer Cox to Jim Jordan to Speaker of the House Mike Johnson. And yes, to Ted Cruz as well, Representative Eric Swalwell, operators from both sides of the aisle, because I don't know. I'm interviewing them to tell me, just like when I didn't know anything about pop culture and the issues that were being discussed, Tori, I called you, who was on my show, educating me about what the subject matters were. And from there, I deduced an opinion based on the facts that were put out there, combined with the facts that you educated and enlightened me about, and I had an opinion. Last time I checked, that's what people got podcasts and YouTube shows for. Don't y'all have them? What's wrong with me having them? Rhetorical question, because we know you'll find a reason to complain about me. Not you, Tori, but Joy, Don, and all of that stuff. Have at it. I won't be talking about y'all anymore. I wish you best. I wish you well. And by the way, when there's an issue that you want to discuss, when I have panels from both sides, like I'm planning to, when I conduct a town hall or whatever, if you want to be a part of it, you're welcomed. I don't mind having you at all. I'm not going to lose any sleep. Don't have any hatred. Don't wish you any harm. Not politicking and scheming for you to end up being canceled and unemployed and silenced. Because you know how this goes, right, America? Folks ally you. They want to ally you. If not, they want to neutralize you. If they can't do that, they want to destroy you. Which category do y'all fall under? My answer towards y'all would be ally, because you're not my enemy. I'm wishing you nothing but the best. When I brought up your numbers, it was pointing out how you got let go because y'all were doing what y'all were doing and you went all in on Trump. And then once Trump got elected, the landscape changed because the business changed. That's all I did. I'm sorry if you felt the need to take it another way, but there will be no animus aimed towards you from me. I have better things to do with my time and my life. I will not be bothering you again, assuming I'm bothering you now. Representative Jasmine Crockett, you are an entirely different matter. Saying that about me was low and it was uncalled for. It was wrong. It was unnecessary. And it's trying to paint a narrative. I asked a question about you. You put out something about me that people might want to attack me over. Is that what we should expect from our U.S. representatives? Or potentially a United States senator? Once again, another question. But don't bother answering. I can take that too. Good luck in your pursuit of the Senate seat. You're still welcomed on the show. I don't expect you to accept, and I won't lose any sleep over it. But it's a shame that you'd go that route. To think it is bad enough to put it out in the stratosphere like that. All I could say is that y'all out there would look at that and still consider me the problem. I'm going to end this by being rhetorical. In a 7 or 8 day span, she put that post on Instagram. And days earlier, She said, let's give Marjorie Taylor Greene grace. I work for SiriusXM and I work for myself. ESPN has nothing to do with this, neither does Disney. I go on the airwaves for them to talk sports. That's what I do at ESPN. Mentioning ESPN every time you mention my name is to try to make things inconvenient for me there. I'll leave it at that. That's it for this edition. Straight Shooter with yours truly. I have nothing more to say. Hopefully I won't have to talk about any of these folks again. Let them live their life. I'll live mine. Talk about Joy and Don. In the case of Representative Crockett, no, you're running for election. Well, I will be talking about what you're doing. That I will be doing. Because I'll be covering a whole bunch of political talk. Not going away. Oh, by the way, Don. Was the volume low enough? Did I sound calm enough for you? Just ask. Peace and love, y'all.